Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
How many spirits are there out abroad in religion that basically operate by that premise? Totally miss the message of the scriptures, that laws were given to show our need, not to save us. We need a Savior. But the devil will take this and twist it. I was thinking about I've mentioned this guy before, but I'm sure Sue will remember there was a guy that we knew at least for a period of time in college. We went to a Bible college. And he had been a soldier in the Korean War. Now, I'm kind of dating us a little bit. But anyway, he had fought in the Korean War, and he had what we today call PTSD, post-traumatic stress, whatever. Anyway, he was a mess. And it messed up his thinking. And somehow he had come to a place where he wanted to serve God in his own thinking, but his way of doing it was this: I've got to be led by the Spirit. That's important. Well, is it? Well, what kind of spirit was doing the leading? I mean, this guy was in such bondage to hearing a voice that he thought was the Lord that he just about had to have a divine revelation to go to breakfast. I'm not exaggerating that much. He literally would go through his day as though I've got to be led by the Lord for every little activity. Folks, God's not a chatterbox. There's a lot that we know what to do. We know how to have a heart that's ready to hear when he speaks, but we don't need him to be telling us every little step. Okay, breathe. Yeah. A little bit of an exaggeration there, but I mean, you get the point. We know enough to get up in the morning, eat breakfast, and go about our responsibilities, but always there's an attitude of listening. So the Lord we can learn his ways to the point where he could lead us in some unusual way. Most of the time, we don't know enough about him to be to that place. Wouldn't it be nice if we learned how to recognize his voice? But listen to what he says down in 17 here, what James says. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. I'll tell you, it's not just the words that are spoken, it's the one speaking the words in his heart, in his nature, that we need to learn how to recognize. You think of what Jesus said. We've referred to these things so many times. But was Jesus calling people to be yoked to him so that they could feel like slaves with their lives ruined by an evil taskmaster? No, they were to find rest for their souls. Learn from me, he said. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. There's a heart that is behind it when God speaks to us. And even when he needs to rebuke us, and we need, anybody here need rebuking sometimes? Yeah. We all need correcting. But the heart behind it, even if he has to speak plainly, is you need to face this. You need to look in the mirror and say, yes, it's me, Lord. But I recognize your heart in telling me about this. You tell me so that I can come to you and be honest with you, and you can cleanse it and set me free and give me a peace in my heart so that I can go forward without carrying that burden. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me this day to gain a measure of freedom that I didn't have yesterday just by listening to you and walking with you. And I may not need some special revelation today, but just the sense that I'm listening, Lord. My heart is surrendered to you. I want your wisdom and not the world's wisdom. And I'm asking you, Lord, just to give me a sense to where I can look and listen and see what's going on around me, but I can see it through your eyes. I can hear it through your ears. I can recognize the spirit behind it. I'll tell you, another principle that just crossed my mind. Well, we think, let me say this. We think about asking wisdom as some big decision that we got to make in our life. Okay, where am I going to live? Who am I going to marry? What's my career going to be? Should I change jobs? And we think about these big events in our lives. Folks, I need wisdom to handle the small situations that come. I need wisdom not to know how to straighten out somebody so they won't bother me so much. I need wisdom to know how to handle it so that I can be more like him. I need wisdom in all the little things of my life, and the Lord can bring those truths to our heart, and we can find rest in our souls that Jesus promised. Oh, I'll tell you, the wisdom encompasses so much more than just these big changes in our lives. But I started to say that one principle that can sometimes come into play, certainly where there's something big or there's something that involves a lot of people, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And we're not going to be in a situation where there's one person that says, I'm hearing from God, everybody else, shut up and listen. Now, they might not put it that way. But there's an awful lot of that in religion, folks. If we have God actually speaking to us and giving us direction and wisdom, it's going to be a peaceable witness to the body of Christ. And there will be others who will be able to judge and say, yes, the Lord's saying the same. I feel a peace in what you're saying. I don't think anybody would feel this way, but I certainly don't want anybody looking to me and saying, oh, whatever Phil says, I need whatever he says. And he is faithful, and he's promised to dwell in our midst. The real thing is, do we really want him? Do we want him to dwell in our midst? And many times, I sort of alluded to this earlier, the Lord will indeed bring situations into our lives. And I mentioned how Paul would, you know, would leave what was behind, needed to be left behind. He would leave that and he would reach for something else. But in the process, here's God saying, okay, there's my servant Paul, and he's at a certain place in his life, and there's a need I see. How can I deal with this? Of course, he's not asking the question like he can't figure it out. But then he called Paul to experience something. And it was a thorn, what we call a thorn in the flesh. There's a lot of debate about what that is, and that's not important. Whatever it was a need, it was a problem, it was something that bothered Paul a lot, and he had to deal with it. So what did he do? Well, he prayed. Well, that's good, that's right. And he kept on praying. You know, God speaking to us is not just some little thing that just, okay, Lord, I need a word. Many times there's waiting and there's just trusting and there's looking to God and walking by faith and realizing that if he doesn't speak to me immediately, it's not because he doesn't care. It's because he's doing something in the process. And so Paul had to go through a season there where he was just going to God. But what was the end of the issue? The Lord said. The Lord spoke. There was a time when there was a word of wisdom that came to his heart. And he said, oh, I get it. He wants me to understand something about myself. I value strength. If I'm going to serve God, I need to be strong. But he didn't realize the strength he was depending on was coming from him. And there was a temptation because he had experienced some amazing revelations. And oh, how human nature wants to jump in there and say, oh, it must be because I'm special. And the Lord had to say, wait a minute, that's not what this is about. And Paul had to learn a principle that became very important in his life. And this was way into his ministry, I'm sure. That when I'm weak, I'm strong. Boy, you don't get that from the bookstore, from the human, from the television, unless you happen to have a servant of God that's talking about it, but you don't get that from the world's wisdom. Weakness is actually strength. It's not that, not weakness, but it's my attempt to be strong. I need his strength. His strength is made complete when I just present myself and say, Lord, I can't do this, but you can. I just want to listen to your voice and obey what you say and trust you. That's what God is seeking to bring in every one of us. And not one of us is that way naturally. And if the Lord's going to do something, he's going to have to take us down the trail step by step by step by step. But coming back to the theme, if I'm going to walk with him and not just with a book, I'm going to walk with him and get to know him. I'm going to have to learn how to recognize his voice, to desire it, first of all. But then when he speaks, to recognize, there's a peaceableness about that. It's in harmony with what he says. It bears witness to others that this is right. Thank God for that wisdom. And then I'm going to have to walk in it. If he puts his finger on something, I can't say, oh no, it's their fault. Which is what we do. We deflect when God shines a light in certain areas. But I want to have the heart that David expressed that we referred to a while ago. Search me, O Lord. I need to be transparent before you. I need to have an ear that wants to hear your voice, that knows I need to hear your voice, that knows when you speak to me, it's your heart of love and mercy that's doing it. It's not something I have to be afraid of, something I need to value, because you're going to bring me to a stronger, more peaceable place with a deeper relationship with you. You're delivering me from the wisdom of this world. You're delivering me from myself. That's the biggest deliverance. I don't need deliverance from all the bad circumstances in my life and all the bad people. I need deliverance from me. Because I might be surrounded by bad people, but if I got him with me and he's working in me, they might kill me, but I'm going to come out the winner because it's because of him. I'll tell you, do you really believe God loves you? Do you believe he has the wisdom that you need in your life? Do you believe he has every resource that you need? Wouldn't it be a good idea to reach out to him? And I mean, in a personal sense, but in a general sense, do we really cry out to God and say, oh God, we're not satisfied. I need to hear your voice. What's lacking? Change me. Bring us to a place where you can be more free to operate and to work. Set people free. Set me free, Lord. Setting me free from all the strongholds that the enemy has got in there, the places of bondage. I need to be set free in a deeper way. God, do whatever you need to do, but I've got to have an ear that hears your voice. And I'll tell you, if he has a people that he has their ear, there's nothing he can't do. There's nothing that's impossible with him. I'll tell you, God, may God bless each and every one today. Let's ask God to help us to listen. Maybe that's a good, I'm thinking about a title. Maybe just as simple as listen. Because that's a pretty key component of serving the Lord in the world. It's not just more than just read the book, study it, practice the religion. It's listen. I'm a person. I want to talk to you. I have what you need, and it's very individual. It's right where you are in your journey. Listen. I love you. Praise God.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.